Listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asia. How's it, baby?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt, I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose, I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers, I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers, come one, come all, because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asia. How's it, baby? Keep it real. Take the Red Pill.
He's scheduled for 60 minutes next. He's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing.
Prepare yourself! Prepare yourself!
You are all fools to challenge me! I'll crush you!
It's been a long time since I've been at full power! Come at me with everything you've got, understand?
We're gonna war. We're gonna eat that sauce of the breakfast.
Yes. Here we go. Here we go. Starting this thing without a hitch today. I like that. Yes, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Real Show. And I am your host, V. We got the man with the mad whisk, the Matt Lab. The Matt Lab, the man with that twisted cap. My constituents, we have Will Turbin from The Man of Truth here. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, no matter how bad a day I have, when I hear that music, it actually picks me up a little bit, man. That's a good smack right there. I don't know where you found that little treasure, but it's a good one, yeah.
Actually, you know, I'm going to have to alter it. I'm pretty sure we're going to get smacked with a copyright for it. That's the old school Spanish version of Dragon Ball intro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would never guess that in a million years, honestly. I would have thought it was some 1973 black exploitation film.
Well, but I mean, no. It might as well be, because, I mean, yes, they play in the Latin countries. That's not the American version at all. Yeah. So
it's interesting. That's something, you know, that when I first went to Canada was like the first time I traveled out of the U.S. I've only been to Ireland besides that. And I noticed that just right over the border, like, their Reese's had different logos. Their Lays and all this other stuff had slightly different logos. I'm like, why is that? And some people are saying, well, the ingredients, and I believe that in certain places the ingredients are healthier than they are in other places. But I think there's also something psychological to the marketing and the way they market things to different people. So it's pretty interesting. That's something to take a look at and wonder why, you know, because they're always playing these little psychological games. It's all psychological warfare with these people. It's like, wow, these people would really spend this extra money just to market into different cultures, and it makes you think, well, who was coming up with that, and what were they doing to kind of figure that out?
Yeah, so that's why you have the, I forget what you call those guys, you know, three amigo looking guys with the horns. So, yeah, the American version had, I guess, some guitar riff, and then, of course, the Asian version had, it sounded like Asian music, so the gongs and everything. So, yeah,
it's kind of a little mariachi-ish, yeah, now that you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can see how the Americans would have a guitar riff. Awesome! Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly. So, so that kind of fits into what we're going to be talking about today. I do want to revisit that Cardi B clip and why she's saying what she's saying. We're going to visit some information that I think you guys should know about. Because we have a terrible situation on our hands, and I want people to know about the AI. People, I just want to play a clip from, what's his name, Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk is a guy who has talked about doing this brain telepathy chip thing. And
the Neuralink.
The Neuralink. And I think he ran into the NSA's remote neural monitoring stuff and realized how advanced it is, because he hasn't really talked about it much.
Hold on, you got to stop there, and you got to explain what you're talking about. I just want to say this here, and you know, V, I sing your praises a lot, but I have to say this real quick before I let you continue on that. Honestly, okay. I'm one of those guys. I've said it before. I'll watch everything of somebody's stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And after years of watching their stuff, I kind of get the gist of what they're saying. I can encapsulate and embody their talking points. But literally, you're not going to get this type of information anywhere else other than me. It's really crazy. Like, I've been doing the show for years with him. I've known him from before that. And he always astounds me. Like, every single show will come up with a point, wow, I didn't even think about this. I do this for a living. I research these people for a living and what's going on. And he's all, like the other day with NFTs. And I mean, it's just like a connection. I mean, I know all about NFTs. I know all about child trafficking, and he just puts these connections there. So talk a little bit about, you know, what you're talking about with the NSA and what Elon Musk made a ran into. So if anybody's not aware, Neuralink is, you know, in my opinion, I think Musk is a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'd be curious to see what he thinks about that. But he's out here. First, he's saying, you know, AI is bad. And then he goes on Joe Rogan and says, you know what? AI is just going to take over us. We have to merge with AI with my new Neuralink, which goes inside your brain. And then you were talking about how his product, Neuralink, he may have ran into what with the NSA?
Their version of the already existing technology. RNM, remote neural monitoring. Remote neural monitoring.
And tell the folks like me who should already know all about this what that is. What, like, give them us the gist of that.
Well, I have several documentaries about this. They're all about 3 hours a piece on this. But the short version of it is the NSA has the ability to not only read the minds of anybody within the public, but also put an AI voice in their head, or several AI voices in their heads. Okay.
And just
that's
to...
done. Well, hold on. That's done via what's called biotelemetry. It's an advanced form of biotelemetry. The nanoparticles, the aluminum chemtrails, you know how they have, in fact, plasmacized our atmosphere. The air that we breathe is plasmacized. This stuff works off of plasmonic type of technology, science, rather. And when you have the stuff lacing your neural pathways in your brain becomes a transceiver. You know, that computer chip that everybody is so, you know, afraid of, that won't let the government, no, we don't want computer chips in us. And we keep telling the government, no, 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 no. Well, they found a way to turn us into computer chips. Now, and it's so ingenious. I mean, because what percentage of the atmosphere used to be oxygen? We as humans, we have to have a certain level of oxygen in the atmosphere in order to be our healthiest. Our atmosphere used to be, I do believe, my numbers might be wrong on this. It's been over decades since I've looked at this. But before the chemtrail spraying, our atmosphere level of oxygen was 18%. Last I check, the oxygen level is 11% in our atmosphere. So when you do that, you significantly can lower the intelligence of the population. So you're not getting proper oxygen supply to the brain. It's very important. The level of oxygen we should be having. So you get a dumbed down population. You get to be able to read their minds and input information into brains of people, whether they think they're possessed, whether they think, you know, they're schizophrenic. There's most 90% of the time, probably more than that, it's not the case. You've got the NSA with a direct synthetic telepathy link to our brains. You know, there are people out there so paranoid. You know, oh, I gotta change my password, this and that. And, you know, before I found out the capabilities of these dirtbags, I mean, I used to be that way, you know. My password, secret password, you know, I'll reconfigure a computer, write the password down once, get it imprinted in my head, burn the paper, never to be, you know, and just to get hacked again 10 minutes later. You know, they did a lot of playing around with me. It's like, oh, okay. And then, so it took a lot of, you know, just the only surveillance I, at that point, I know I'm getting off topic here, was just basically just...
No, it's actually not. And I'm glad you're doing this because you're breaking it down and explaining. When, I mean, the thing is, when you use these big words and stuff like that, like, you got to take it slow for us rookies, especially the new people that are just tuning in for the first time and finding out about this information, and also adding the personal story, the experience to it, is a better way to connect with people, because people connect with stories. People can tell you all about false flags and Star Wars. But when you sit there and you talk about Rumsfeld and Cheney, their mind's like, what the hell? But when you can tell a story, that's something that everybody can relate to. So, yeah, no, take your time, dude. This is actually, I was about to interrupt you and say, this is really good. This
you is need a really refresher. Good. You need a refresher.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, not even that. But at the same time, be like, it's not even just a refresher. It's like you don't realize how much smarter and more knowledge you have than the average person. And so, like, when you're talking about, like, nanoparticulates and biotelemetry, Nobody's keeping up. So we gotta slow it down. You gotta dumb it down for us, see? You gotta talk to us like we're four. Especially some of these boomers. Especially a lot of the listeners are boomers too. They don't know what's going on. I'm barely keeping up. I'm still like, what? I got my hand raised. So it's good when you break it down. I love it.
Okay, so knowing that these people could access information at any time, and it's not like direct mind reading because it has to make an inquiry. You know, like you get on a computer, you're in a directory, you know, and the DOS back, you know, program, you're in the DOS box or whatever, you got to, you know, dir directory search this and that sort of thing. You have to make inquiries into the system. So keep that in mind. Inquiries into the system. We're going to come back to that. But anyways, yes, so we have this remote technology that the NSA, if I don't care if you think that you're a part of this or not, if you breathe air like the rest of us above ground, I don't know about the guys in the military bunkers and these secret hidden labs underneath, you know, underneath our surface here. But if you're on the surface of the planet and you breathe air, there's a phone number to your head. Okay? And 99.9999% of the time, the person that calls you on the other side of that line is an AI. So I want to get to what Elon Musk was saying here, if you could help us out with that, Mike. And jump back in and play that for us, and then I will definitely keep ripping. If Mike is there.
Okay. I just don't have an Elon.
You may have to share his screen.
I don't have an Elon Musk.
You might have to share his screen, or he might have to share a screen and then you share it.
he's doing us a favor by disconnecting, sitting back in the lobby area so that we have more screen space. So he's doing us a favor by doing that. But if he walks away and we need him, we have to wait.
One second.
Well, so, you should just start showing his face, and that would
solve
that problem.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I forgot I had to unmute to talk to y'all. I don't have an Elon Musk clip, though. Sorry,
if I knew.
Throwing a wrench
how
in
to,
here.
You know what?
Hello? I'm
Let
still
me
backstage.
See if I can play it myself. So, hang tight, people here. And I'm going to say, while we're waiting, I probably need a refresher.
Mikey just said in the chat he's backstage. You just got to add him again.
Oh, okay. There we go.
And unfortunately, I don't have an Elon Musk clip. Where is that at?
Oh, well, snap. Are you sure? Oh, I didn't get it.
I don't see it anywhere.
And, you know, Elon Musk is one of these guys. Go ahead, sorry.
Like, I'd like to try to share the screen, possibly, see if that works. I don't know. This computer I'm on is pretty slow. I may have to start doing this on my main internet computer and not the audio computer so that I can try that sharing screen stuff. But if you want to send it over in the Skype or the StreamYard, I should be able to click it on and share the screen real quick, hopefully.
I've got to look at my history. Oh, snap. Maybe because it's on the other computer. Sometimes you not just have too many screens to look at, and it just gets overwhelming. Yeah, there it is. All right. You caught me in a goof moment. You guys are going to hear about the day I had yesterday. why I'm a little perturbed today and why we're on this topic. So, there we go. Mike's got it now. And No editing needed for it. It's just Elon Musk. And a one, a two, a three.
I'm working on it. Hang on.
Well, okay. And again, guys.
Oh wait, here we go.
This is the AI stuff, guys. This is the AI. I want to explain to you how far-reaching, how what he's, because you're gonna just get a lot of psychobabble. You know, ooh, dangerous. You know, me ape, you computer. And you know, but I kind of want to explain why there's so much cycle babble, because Elon Musk is not putting it out there like he should be. So, Mike, you ready?
There we go. Is this working?
Oh. Can barely hear it.
Yeah, I can't hear it. I don't know why.
Are you sharing your screen on StreamYard?
Trying.
Huh. You may have to add your shared screen to the thing.
Yeah, yeah, actually. Hey, well, he is sharing screen. Or I need to do it. You know what?
There you go.
You're absolutely right. Okay, can we start that over? See, I'm still learning StreamYard, guys.
I'm still not hearing anything, though. I don't know if y'all can hear that. Hang on there, RBN listeners. I'll try to bring it up on another computer for y'all.
The percentage of intelligence that is not human is increasing. And eventually, we will represent a very small percentage of intelligence. I try to convince people to slow down AI, to regulate AI. This was futile. I tried for years.
It's capable of vastly more than almost anyone knows. And the rate of improvement is exponential. And it scares the hell out of me. The biggest issue I see with so-called AI experts is that they think they know more than they do. And they think they're smarter than they actually are.
The Deep Mind system can win at any game. It can already beat all the original Atari games. It is superhuman. It plays the games at super speed in less than a minute. And we're all feeding this network without questions and answers. We're all collectively programming the AI. And and Google plus all the humans that connect to it are one giant cybernetic collective. This is also true of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And all these social networks. They're giant cybernetic collectives.
AI has administrator level access to Google's servers to optimize energy usage at the data centers. However, this could be an unintentional Trojan horse. DeepMind has to have complete control of the data centers, so with a little software update, that AI could take complete control of the whole Google system, which means they can do anything. They can look at all your data, they can do anything.
It's definitely going to be outside of human control. The thing that's going to be tricky here is that it's going to be very tempting to use AI as a weapon. It's going to be very tempting. In fact, it will be used as a weapon.
In general, we are all much smarter than we think we are, but much less smart, dumber than we think we are, by a lot.
The on-ramp to serious AI, the danger is going to be more humans using it against each other, I think, most likely. That'll be the danger. Yeah. Usually it'll be something, some new technology. It will cause damage or death. There will be an outcry.
This tends to plague smart people. They just can't. They define themselves by their intelligence, and they don't like the idea that a machine could be way smarter than them. So they discount the idea, which is fundamentally flawed. That's the wishful thinking situation. I'm really quite close to, I'm very close to the cutting edge in AI.
Well, I think the first bit of advice would be to really pay close attention to the development of artificial intelligence. I think this is, we need to just be very careful in how we adopt artificial intelligence and to make sure that researchers don't get carried away. Because sometimes what happens is a scientist can get so engrossed in their work, they don't necessarily realize the ramifications of what they're doing. So I think it's important for public safety that we, you know, governments keep a close eye on artificial intelligence and make sure that it does not represent a danger to the public. But what to do about mass unemployment? This is going to be a massive social challenge. And I think ultimately we will have to have some kind of universal basic income. I don't think we're going to have a choice. Universal basic income. I think it's going to be necessary. There will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot do better. That's simply and I want to be clear that these are not things that I think that I wish would happen. These are simply things that I think probably will happen. And since, if my assessment is correct and they probably will happen, then we need to say, what are we going to do about it? And I think some kind of a universal basic income is going to be necessary. Now the output of goods and services will be extremely high. So with automation, there will come abundance. There will be almost everything will get very cheap. I think we'll just end up doing universal basic income. It's going to be necessary. The harder challenge, much harder challenge, is how do people then have meaning? Like a lot of people, they derive their meaning from their employment. So if you don't have, if you're not needed, if there's not a need for your labor, what's the meaning? Do you have meaning? Do you feel useless? These are much... To some degree, we are already a cyborg. You think of like the digital tools that you have, your phone, your computer, the applications that you have, like the fact that, as I was mentioning earlier, you can ask a question and instantly get an answer from Google or from other things. And so you already have a digital tertiary layer. I say tertiary because you can think of the limbic system, kind of the animal brain or the primal brain, and then the cortex, kind of the thinking and planning part of the brain, and then your digital self as a third layer. So you already have that, and it's like if somebody dies, their digital ghost is still around. You know, all of their emails and the pictures that they posted and their social media, that still lives, even if they're physical, if they died. So over time, I think we'll probably see a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence. And it's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and your digital extension of yourself. Particularly output. Output, if anything, is getting worse. You know, we used to have like keyboards that we'd use a lot. Now we do most of our input through our thumbs on a phone. And that's just very slow. A computer can communicate at a trillion bits per second, but your thumb can maybe do, I don't know, 10 bits per second or 100 if you're being generous. So some high bandwidth interface to the brain, I think, will be something that helps achieve a symbiosis and between human and machine intelligence, and maybe solves the control problem and the usefulness problem.
I'm not really all that worried about the short-term stuff. Things that are... like narrow AI is not a species-level risk. It will result in dislocation, in lost jobs, and sort of better weaponry and that kind of thing. But it is not a fundamental species-level risk, whereas digital superintelligence is. So it's really all about laying the groundwork to make sure that if humanity collectively decides that creating digital superintelligence is the right move, then we should do so very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. This is the most important thing that we could possibly do. And that AI risk is... I guess it's the sort of a benign AI, and that we're able to achieve a symbiosis with that AI. Ideally, the AI... there's somebody who... I can't remember his name, but had a good suggestion for what the optimization of the AI should be. What's its utility function? You have to be careful about this, because if you say maximize happiness, and the AI concludes that happiness is a function of dopamine and serotonin, so it just captures all humans and injects your brain with large amounts of dopamine and serotonin. Like, okay, it's not what we meant. Well, I like the definition of, like, the AI should try to maximize the freedom of action.
Okay.
Wow.
Artificial intelligence is making that.
Do you want to go first, or should I go first, or how do you want to go?
By all means, go right ahead.
So any the first thing
is going to lead us straight to the source.
Yeah. So the first thing, there's a lot of stuff being said there, right? But the first thing that starts off is he keeps saying that, yeah, this, I've been warning for years. It kind of reminded me of, like, Al Gore trying to gain sympathy. I've been warning about the AI for years. No, you haven't. You haven't been warning about the AI for years. It's been like, if it was your biggest concern, you wouldn't be making fake Tesla vehicles. You wouldn't be doing the other things that you're doing. It would be the number one thing is you trying to warn the planet about that. You brought it up in a handful of interviews, sure. But that was all right before, in most cases, you were working in releasing your Neuralink. And then, so he kind of gained the sympathy, like he's a freedom fighter. And he's got the leather jacket on and he's cool. He's not like Jeff Bezos. He's like, hey, guys, I've been warning these guys for years. These guys are baddies, and I've been seeing this for years. And, you know, it's AI is super smart, and you guys got to be worried. What's going to happen is we need – and V pointed this out in the chat, but I was already all over this. We need universal basic income because the robots are going to be doing all of our jobs for us. And I actually don't see it that way. I think he's suffering from his own problem that he was diagnosing, is that these people think that they're so smart, they don't know what's going on. You know, every time in history when a new technology has come upon, from the Industrial Revolution since, and even before that, people have wondered, you know, the Luddites, they were wondering, oh yeah, we're gonna, technology's bad, we're gonna lose our jobs, they took our jobs, we're gonna lose all of our jobs. But what happens is people are actually more free. One of the things that technology did is, you know, there's historians that argue that one of the major things that stopped slavery too was actually the cotton gin, and had little to do with the Emancipation Proclamation, more to do with the cotton gin. So that was a technology that freed people from being slaves. That was one of the major motivators historically for slaves is for people to do work for you. And so I would actually see it as the opposite. It could open me up instead of me having to go and fold shirts 100 times or move coffee back and forth, or, you know what I'm saying, work at a something that could be automated. I could be free to pursue my creative interest.
But you're missing something. You're at face value, you're absolutely right. And that's why they can push this agenda, because of its face value. Oh, you know, we don't have to be slaves anymore. But it's so astute of you to bring this up, because I was actually going to mention that exactly with the cotton gin. Yes, that actually helped. You know, it revolutionized everything. And, you know, no more need for slave work on that end. But the social implication meant that, you know, okay, we got a group of people who are free. Okay, let's get back to stripping them of their rights. You know, blacks can't own guns anymore. You know, that's how the whole gun control started. Contraceptives began because of freed slaves. The whites were terrified of blacks being integrated into society, you know, even at a biological level. So contraceptives were invented. Forced abortions, people, I mean, who couldn't even read, told to put their mark on a contract. Next thing you know, they're strapped down to a table and had their babies ripped out and sterilized. And so there was a genocide, in fact, that happened after that revolutionary invention. So we have today the same issue. Well, how is that, V? Nobody's being strapped down to tables and being sterilized. And well, I mean, here we have this plandemic. Plandemic. All right? And then we have the gene alteration vaccine. People are no longer people. People are now a commodity. The way that, yes, these jobs, any of our jobs can be done by a computer. That's why it's now okay to use the masses, the population of the earth, for experimentation. Yeah, they're a little smarter than they were back in the day. Well, let's just find ways to kill people.
That's a great point right there, V.
Let's use these people as guinea pigs for an infinite range of you know, imaginary experiments.
Yeah, we don't need to depend on them to create our goods anymore. Now we got robots and AI for that. Now we can just really toy with them. That's like, you know, that might be some actual, that's maybe what the extraterrestrials are, is just a group of elites that just decided to toy with us, and then they evolved separately. And now they're coming back to do it again. Wow, V, that's very astute. Yeah, good points on both. Because, you know what, I usually think there's a point and a counterpoint, and then you pull back, and I didn't have one on that one, and you just give me one. That's a great point, dude.
Well, it's just history repeats itself.
We've seen it play out. We've seen it play out.
We're seeing it play out.
We're here.
And so, yeah, and the purebloods, the people who don't have the vaccines in them, these rich people... Yeah, and just like you said, they're going to get to evolve separately. They're going to have as much control over the AI as soon as possible. What the rich elite want to do is to create that immortality. They want to combine this technology, this nanotechnology, and with AI to make themselves transhuman. They want to live forever, and if they cannot live forever, they're going to simulate their consciousness to live in a matrix that's a heaven for them for all eternity. Okay.
What is that saying about somebody?
Dirtbag who raped children and sold people down the slave trade. I would be scared as hell thinking about the afterlife. Am I going to get some up and comings? Maybe I should just make myself immortal.
Maybe. Yeah, why not just repent? I mean, I'm no Christian here, but I mean, why not? Why not have a Christmas story kind of ending where you see you did the wrong thing? I mean, why don't we ever see that? Because look, have we ever seen
their families will get whacked. All the money that they have accumulated, all the wealth.
So we did see it was just JFK. The only people we actually did see it, the last person that had the balls to stand up and do it, him and his family got whacked generationally. I don't even know if that's a term, but they did. Yes. If not, put it in the new update. But damn. So yeah, I mean, and then since then, people have been scared to do it. And that's a good point. And that's how they do it. Yeah, you run away from North Korea. We're going to kill you and your family. You go against the cartel. We're going to run. You screw the mafia. And that's how they do it, man. And that's and you know, I have some sympathy for some of these people that are up there doing that. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, creating immortality is I think you just got to bite the bullet, man. I don't know. You got to bite the bullet and say, go ahead, kill me, kill my family, but you're not going to steal. And I don't believe in no Christian heaven, hell duality. Actually, most Christians don't even realize hell is not even mentioned in the Bible. But yeah, I do believe there's something bigger than this, and I would hate. And I worry about my own death and the things that I do. You know, it's normal. In some ways, I've come to peace with my death, you know, right? Because I personally believe that, you know, everything is a vibration, radio, television, internet waves. I believe that some spirit, soul, conscious, chakra, whatever you call it, is animating my body. I believe that there's some energy. And, you know, 99.9% of... vibrations we can't see. We can only see a small percentage of the electromagnetic spectrum, and that's only a small percentage of what's really out there. And science says you cannot create or destroy energy, only change it. And so my energy still would be broadcasting on some dimension that I can't see, hopefully. That's the best case scenario. But if not, man, I mean, I don't, it's interesting. I mean, even though I guess they do kill you and your family, you think you would start to see more people coming out, but you don't. It's interesting when they have you with the Jeffrey Epstein, you know, raping boys and girls, when they have you blackmailed three-way to Sunday, and then they say they're going to kill you and your family. That's a pretty good way to do things for them. It's been pretty effective. But I don't even know, V, do you think that these people have their control on AI? Because one thing that I do agree with Elon Musk, what he talks about is, and this is something that we're not having, is a discussion about this artificial intelligence and what we want to do with this as a society. Because do you even think that the elites know what kind of demon they've unleashed? Do you think they can control it? Or do they think they're part of those same people that think they're so smart, but they're really not?
First off, I need to address something that you said there. And it's, why aren't these people coming out? Why aren't these people coming out? They do every day. We are just not able to see it or put it into its proper context. Let's go back to that Cardi B. So I got to bring Mike back into, it doesn't give me a option to do that. You got to come in yourself. You got to come in. Okay, there we go. And share that Cardi B again. I'll throw it up immediately.
Hey, y'all. So I'm having a problem, right? Like, a lot of people be saying, oh, I met Cardi B, and I don't know if she liked me or not because she was looking at me like if I'm crazy or if I was retarded or something. But that's not the problem. The problem is that I have a voice in my head that when I'm talking to people, it just start having a conversation with me, and I be replying back. Like, you could be talking to me, and the voice in my head, I don't know, start asking me questions like, hey, what happened to your green Balenciaga shirt that you wore the other day? And then I reply back in my head like, I don't know, bitch. I think I left it in my grandma's house. And then me and the voice in my head start going back and forth while you talking to me, so I'm really not paying attention because the voice in my head is talking to me. I don't know if that shit happened to people, that should be happening to me. So I just be looking at you like, because I'm talking, I'm having a whole conversation in my fucking thoughts. That's why.
Okay. So, I've had people reach out to me before. The information on this. If any of you guys seen my interview with Ashley Wood from the Lost TV series, Lost, you know, she complained about the gang stalking. She complained about the being drugged. She complained about hearing the voices. Okay? The MK Ultra CIA control program for the Hollywood elites is no different than the NSA mind control grid for the common people, like you and I. There's no difference. They go through the same thing. It was developed by experimenting on the celebrities. You got leeway there with the celebrities because the celebrities are celebrities because they are unique individuals. They have talent. They have something that makes them stand out. They're quirky individuals. You know, for our celebrities today, if you would place them anywhere back in the 1970s, the 1950s, 1930s, they would be put into the back of, you know, that white paddy wagon and put in a straitjacket. So, for there, and Cardi B is not the only one who has come out and say this exact thing. Many of celebrities, many. Schizophrenia, natural schizophrenia, would be, I think, what was it, before the numbers got all convoluted with all this YouTube stuff, looking into the actual medical books, I had to dust some off, you know, early 90s, 80s, you had a 0.012% of the population with schizophrenia. Now, since this technology has been on the rise, let's just say we had double the population now than we did 40 years ago. Let's just assume that. That number, that percentage of the population, you're still going to get less than 1%. You're still getting less than 0.1%. But anybody who has something to say about the government is schizophrenic. Anybody who has a conspiracy theory, oh, he's a schizophrenic. Anybody who has money and doesn't like the system and schizophrenic. You see where I'm going here with this? So, it's that inquiry, that inquiring of the mind through remote synthetic telepathy. You know, I was talking about my passwords earlier on my computer. I have basic passwords. My hacking, I mean, I've got pretty cool setups now where I'm geared up on security, but my passwords didn't mean anything. Okay? Even if everybody at Google was clean, even if everybody, you know, if there were no hackers, even if, that AI is going to ask you questions nonstop. And the problem with that is, it's your brain. It's not your mouth. You can choose to close your mouth. You can choose to not answer something. When a question is put to you in your skull, you're automatically going to think about it and produce an answer. So, if they want your passwords to something, they're going to have your passwords. If they don't want to get anybody else involved, hackers or any kind of computer monitoring, cyber command, if they want to keep everybody out of the loop, they can just put this AI, synthetic telepathy, and get all the answers in the world that you want. You don't have any secrets. If they don't want you to, the only way they're not going to get information out of you is if you truly don't know something. Or you have regressed memories, repressed memories. So, my God. Yes. This is going on every day. I know people, RBN, have heard me talk about this, but this should be new for you guys at KGRA. And our other affiliates that have picked this up. This is what's going on today. The AI. This is, people think, yes, just the AI replacing your jobs. No, the AI has so many ways to screw with you. And I know we're running out of time here for this particular hour. We're going to come back on the second hour here. And I'm going to get into those other various ways. I mean, just my experiences yesterday. You guys would be, I hope you can feel my anger. Have some sort of sympathy because I almost lost my cool yesterday. You know, Andre 3000 would have been ashamed of me for me losing my cool.
Well, you know, I know we're going to break, but I do want to say that there is a silver lining here. Honestly, we're only halfway through, and this is one of the best shows, and we've done a lot of good shows with a lot of good interviewers, but this is such important information, and the way you're breaking it down, I think, is so helpful and poignant, man. This is a great episode, so I'm sad that happened to you, but in a way, I'm kind of happy in a twisted way.
Same. If I could go back, knowing what I know now, if I can go back to being 18, 17, oh my God, I would have structured my life completely different.
We wouldn't even be here. We'd be eating tacos, drinking tequila, celebrating the defeat of these guys. So shame on you guys for not putting us here earlier, a couple of years earlier.
Yeah, I've always said that. You guys are lucky you targeted me when I was 28 and not 18. I got all these adult problems surrounding me. But guys, anyways, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Site. attacked by rogue agents, federal forces, and domestic terrorist militias. This is your emergency broadcast system. This is a national alert. Imminent threat is nationwide. You must stay in sight of your homes or risk being shot on sight. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I could talk about this endlessly, and I know at some point I'm going to have to start the Red Pill Tour. I'm missing one member of that, but I'm trying to decide who should fill that position. But we're going to be talking about all sorts of things. I, of course, am going to be talking about this covert technology that the NSA has. Another person is going to be talking about the human trafficking, the Falun Gong, the organ harvesting. We all know who that's going to be. Mr. Nick Gerber. I was also going to have, you know, just different areas of corruption covered. So we're going to be just touring different radio stations across the globe here. And our first start is going to be with the United States. So that's just something to come up. Now, I want to play a clip for you, and I'm going to tell you why this clip is relevant. Because of what I went through yesterday, also connected to AI. So, if we can get that Citibank up and rolling, that'll be great.
Okay, people, so usually I do not talk anything negative because there are not many bad things, but this piece of a bank, I have to really warn you all about it. So I informed them that I'm going to do a world travel, and so please just don't cancel my card, because